Research shows visiting adult websites is not a private affair. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, there's news of another massive breach of computer security systems, this time affecting personal data of 106 million customers of Capital One Bank. The bank says sensitive information, including customers' names, addresses, and dates of birth, were leaked, and in some cases, social security numbers. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us. Who's affected here?
Well, the biggest group of victims is anyone who applied for a Capital One credit card from 2005 until early this year. The bank says the hacker got their credit scores and payment histories. Capital One says the hacker also got a hold of about 140,000 Social Security numbers from U.S. customers, and 1 million Canadian customers had their version of Social Security numbers exposed. The hacker got the bank account numbers of about 80,000 Bank One customers. And these were people with secured credit cards that are linked to their bank accounts. Secured credit cards are for people with bad credit. You have to put down a security deposit to get one. And this is a way for banks to minimize the risk of issuing a credit card to someone with a low credit score.
But as a practical matter, what are customers supposed to do now?
Well, there's no way to check right now. Capital One says it will notify the customers who were affected by this. It says the hack will cost it $100 to $150 million this year, and it's unlikely the stolen information was actually shared by the hacker.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. Now to new peer-reviewed research that finds that internet sellers and big tech companies are logging when people visit pornographic websites. Google, Facebook, and other firms may not use that data, but it's often there, the researchers say, the way the internet knows if you've been shopping for new shoes. Ellen Amaris of Microsoft Research is one of the authors of a paper in the journal New Media and Society titled Tracking Sex. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So you found that when a person goes to a pornographic website, they end up leaving some kind of digital identifying information or signature, and that info, that private info, gets shared or leaks out of the porn website?
So what we did was we used a software developed by one of our authors, Tim Leibert, and the software works by loading a given web page into the Chrome browser. And then the software records during that loading all of the instances where user data is exposed to third parties. 93% of these pages leaked user data to a third party. So in our research, we talk a lot about the stakes there for individuals.
It leaks out from these pornographic websites. Where does it go?
That's sort of hard to say sometimes, but what we did do was find out specifically the corporate ownership behind these third-party trackers that we identified. Primarily, these are some of the larger companies that we're all familiar with online. Google, for example, was heavily represented in these third-party trackers. Facebook had about 10%. And also, there's a smaller sort of ecosystem of porn-specific advertisers.
Some people can set their Chrome browsers to incognito mode, but that turns out doesn't keep a person private if they're going to a porn site?
Right. So one thing that's been really interesting for us as we get public reaction to our research is that sort of how ingrained in the public imagination or how connected to pornography incognito mode has become. And incognito mode is about your device and erasing a history or keeping private a history of where you've been browsing on your browser for anyone who might access that device later. Google itself, if you were to look at their explanation of what incognito is for, they very clearly state that your activity online will be visible to the websites you're visiting, any of their partners or advertisers, potentially your employer or school, they note. So you can start to see how that might be uncomfortable if you're not happy with your employer or school knowing the porn websites that you're visiting.
One of the many statistics that stands out in the journal article is just how much internet traffic is connected to pornography. It seemed quite high.
About 30% of all the data transferred across the internet is pornography. Porn sites get more visitors each month than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. So it's time to think about how much privacy we have there and what we want regulators to do, if anything, about protecting our interests.
The research there was done in collaboration with Timothy Leibert at Carnegie Mellon and Jennifer Henriksen at University of Pennsylvania. Ellen Amaris is a postdoc researcher at Microsoft Research. Dr. Amaris, thank you.
Thank you.
Facebook told us it is a violation of its standards to use its data tracking systems for porn sites and apps, and it takes enforcement action when it learns of cases. Google says it doesn't allow its ads on adult websites and prohibits personalized ads based on a user's sexual interests or related activities online. Checking markets, the FTSE in London up just 1 point. Dow and S&P futures are down 0.2%. Hong Kong is set to release its quarterly economic growth numbers tomorrow as massive political protests continue to shake the area. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Violence again rocked Hong Kong this past weekend as police fired tear gas and rubber bullets into crowds of protesters. The demonstrations began 2 months ago over a law that would have eased extradition to mainland China. They have since broadened into a pro-democracy movement that sees hundreds of thousands take to the streets, often shutting down business districts.
This is, at some level, an existential issue for Hong Kong.
Eswar Prasad is an economist at Cornell who expects the protests to hurt an already slowing economy. The city's retail association reports sales have dropped by double digits at many stores, with luxury retailers hard hit as big-spending travelers stay away.
The public image of Hong Kong as a safe and stable place is kind of shattered.
Ho Fong Hung is a political economist at Johns Hopkins University. He says Hong Kong's status as a semi-autonomous territory has been a selling point for international business firms wary of working in China. But if the protests draw intervention from the mainland, that could scare investors away. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Our producers are Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Candace Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.